In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Outsiders are called to come and worship. Those uncircumcised people who worshiped the stars, practiced divination, and ate unclean animals are called to come and fall down before the King. Not Jews, but Gentiles. Wise men is not the best translation. Astrologers is closer. Magicians is not that far off. They thought the movement of the heavens predicted events on earth. They thought they had a special insight into spiritual divine matters that the gods themselves gave them. So fortune tellers is not that far off either. And God sent them a sign. A special, unique star that announced the birth of his son. And they come. They leave behind their culture, their food, their dress, their homes, their families, and they travel across deserts, treacherous terrain, are in danger from bandits and robbers. They leave the protection of their Persian empire and enter into the enemy territory, the Roman Empire. They do not belong. They are not of Israel. But how could they stay in their home country when God left his home to be born for them? They knew something of him. What scripture they were aware of, we're not quite sure, but they knew something of him. They knew he was worthy of their worship. They knew that he came for them to be their king. So as God once called Abram out of the land of the Babylonians, so now he calls these Gentiles out of their land by a star. But that star did not lead them, at least not at first. It simply appeared. And so they went to the logical place, Jerusalem. Surely the great king of the Jews would be born in the capital city. And if not, then surely the people of that holy city, where God had put his name and built his temple, the one and only temple, surely those people would know where the king was born. If distant outsiders knew, then surely those on the inside must also know. Well, upon seeing that holy city, their spirits must have been refreshed and their hearts rejoiced, for they almost were at their destination. But no one knew a thing of what they had asked. Herod was king. Those on the inside, those who belonged, those who had circumcision, the law, the temple, the name of God implanted on them, trembled with fear. These magi, these foreigners, brought an existential crisis. Herod is scared out of his mind. And then his sword usually starts flying, which it will. He will dispose of anyone he can to hold on to his throne, unaware that death itself will claim him and remove him and will take his throne away. And this child was born so that all might reign with him forever. The Jews feared the one who could kill the body, Herod, but could not harm the soul. And they completely ignore the one who can kill both body and soul. They are the people of God. They have the holy city, the holy words of God, and yet their faith is absent. Those who do not belong were more prepared for God than those who did belong. Herod, though, knew where to search for answers. He calls in the chief priests and the scribes, and they don't need to look up where. They know off the top of their heads, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. As David was born when Israel was oppressed by the Philistines, so the son of David is born when Israel is oppressed by sin, Herod, and the Romans. Herod shudders at the prophecy, while the Magi rejoice. While the Magi prepare their gifts, Herod readies his sword. While Jerusalem locks itself down in fear of what Herod will do next, The Magi escape that holy city quickly, hastening, because their king awaits. And now the star leads them. Its brilliant light lights the path before them. They walk in that light and follow that light as it illumines their way until they reach the very house where the child was. One house was bright, the rest are clouded in darkness. Once they were outsiders, but God has enlightened these Gentiles and invited them to come into his presence. And there they enter. And there they fall down on their faces before an infant. And there they present the most humblest of humans with the costliest of treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so what St. Paul proclaimed unfolds today. The Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. It makes sense to us who have 2,000 years of history on our side. But it was very strange to those first century Jews. For 1,500 years, the Jews were different. They lived differently. They acted differently. They had to eat certain foods and behave a certain way. They were the people of God, caretakers of the promise, preservers of the scriptures. If someone wanted to convert to their faith, they had to adopt the law of Moses as well. But now this child comes and everything is thrown out the window. Everything changed. Uncircumcised Gentiles worship him. Our ancestors bow the knee before him. We are Gentiles by blood. For we do not have the blood of Abraham, the lineage or history of the Jews. We are outsiders to the promise, foreigners to the scriptures. But like the Magi, God has called us out of our country, away from our homeland. And through the light of his word, he has led us to where the Christ child is now present. We have no right to be here, but he has invited us. He has called us by the gospel. He has enlightened our path with his gifts and brought us into the very house of God. And so right now, the overwhelming majority of Christians are not Jews, but they are Gentiles. Thus, what was prophesied by the scriptures is fulfilled. The Gentiles have put their hope in him. And again, all nations will call him blessed. And again, all nations shall come and worship before him and shall glorify his name. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did not restrict his salvation to one ethnicity, culture, bloodline, or country. But he has called men, women, and children from every nation under heaven, from every tribe and language, to be his own children. To him it matters not what language you speak, what color your skin, what your culture is, where you are from. What matters is, he came for you. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing all nations, teaching all nations. Once we were not a people, but now we are. God has led us to Christ. The light of his word illumines our path and stops over the house where Christ is bodily present today. So it is that word of God that gets our feet moving and hastens our steps to come with joy. So we have found our way to this sanctuary this night, not because of a pastor, windows, organs, singing, or the people, but we have come because the flesh and blood God is present here. And like those Magi, we Gentiles, we fall down on our knees, not figuratively, but in actuality. Yes, God is present everywhere, but he does not want you to find him everywhere. How would the story sound if the Magi, upon seeing the star, thought kind thoughts about this king of the Jews, offered him a prayer, and said thank you, but then stayed at their homes? And sadly, that is what many of their heirs do today. They do not come. They do not come because the weekend is their time to relax. It's family time. They need to recharge for the week ahead. Or to say it simply, it costs them too much time, too much effort, and Jesus just isn't worth it. And yet the Magi teach us to spare no expense, for he has spared no expense for us. We make the journey, some of us shorter than others. We bring our children in our arms, our daughters on our hips. Or perhaps we come alone. But we come because he is worth it. We have but one King, one Savior, who rules in grace and justice and love. We come because that word has lighted our path. We bring our gifts because that word has created faith. We give him our best. We offer him our whole bodies, all that we are and have, as a sacrifice fitting for him. We bend the knee, for how can we not? He who became a Jew incorporated us foreigners into his gracious kingdom. And so that very familiar carol, "We Three Kings," is quite fitting. They were not kings. But Christ does not make Gentiles second-class citizens, but rather he raises them up as co-heirs with him, yes, as kings with him. So this is what they are and what we are, rulers with Christ of all things. So let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for he judges the peoples with equity, and he guides the nations of the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.